be seated and let us hear the word of God.
The first Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, chapter 22, verses 20 through 24. In that day, I will summon my servant, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with a robe and fasten your sash around him and hand your authority over to him. He will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the people of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. When he opens, no one can shut, and when he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a nail into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. All the glory of his family will hang on him, its offspring and offshoots, all of its lesser vessels, from the bowls to all the jars. The second reading is from Ezra, chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. And now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bounden, yet our God had not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Shall we pray? God, we pray your holy word. We ask you to speak through your words, to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about how to create a little grace space. How to create a little grace space. I think the job of parents is creating grace spaces for their children in a host of ways. In the passage that was just read to you, particularly from Ezra, it says, "And now for a little space, grace has been shown from our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place." And if you look at that, it's about the space that God creates for us in his infinite grace. If you were to check the Hebrew, that again, that space is a place of respite. There, when I just get away for a minute and take a deep breath, away from it all, and we don't have to move from where we are. We can create that within. And as parents, we can create that for children and grandchildren. But in fact, probably no one does a better job of creating grace spaces than grandparents and great-grandparents. Still, some really neat aunts and uncles can do this pretty well, as well as parents. In this grace space, we get this sense of being a part of what God's doing. And because it's grace, we realize that it's the work of God within us. And it leads us, it helps us to hold on. The remnant is that which survives the struggles of life. The remnant is like the refinement, like when you take gold and you burn out the impurities in it, and you have the finest thing that becomes the remnant, the residue. And so there is a promise that it goes on to say to be the space to give us a nail in this holy place. Now this nail, it's helpful to understand that it's mentioned in the Isaiah passage as well. It was a nail or a peg, and it was driven in each person's home. It was driven in the sanctuary, and upon it hung the things that were valuable. It wasn't uncommon that you would have your valuables in your home hung upon this nail or this peg, and even in the sanctuary. You could say that just as this peg or nail was the place that they hung their valuables, it is perhaps where we which we value, not only for ourselves, but for our children. We drive them into a firm place so that we can stand and live out that which is important to us. This tent peg is also used for a tent peg. The tent peg that it was used for is similar, which we hear in the New Testament, of like a cornerstone. In the big tents, they would have one peg that would be driven in, and all the other ropes and pegs would come to that, and it would hold everything up. In fact, you were mixed with this like I was as a kid, and they had my kind of nail. I would be the one you'd pull up so everything would collapse. And it's that which holds things together. You could say the peg was what held their homes up. And God creates through this grace a place that makes us a home. And we need that grace because it has to be a loving home. In the Isaiah passage, it says, in a firm place, a place that it's not going to come loose. I was reading a quote. It's sort of a sad quote. It says, the son whines to his father, "You messed up my childhood." And the father said, "How could I, son? I wasn't even there." In the absence of that firm presence that we can rely upon in our lives lose something of what they can be. God is our firm peg, and we can hold on to God. And if in some cases where it's a single family, single parent family, that one person becomes father and mother, becomes almost like the sole peg or nail that holds things together, because we need that sense of presence. Because without it, there isn't that constancy of being there for each other. Irma Bombeck, who writes these delightful columns, she got a letter from a woman, and she mentioned that her dad was never really quite there for her. And when her dad died, it was hard, but in another sense it wasn't, because she wasn't quite sure what a dad did anyhow. And she shares that frustration. In the letter, she said, "But years later, I got married, and I saw my husband be the father that I hoped for. And he taught me what a dad is there for." And in the letter, this woman gave her response to Bombeck about what a dad is there for. "He threw my children higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote on the puppy debate. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park for the first time. I have to put, for honesty's sake, so this is a better dad than I was. If I had to tell someone what a father really does that is important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and bad. He's a man who is constantly observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. What do my fathers? When things go bad, the opportunity to to teach your children is greater than at any time. Because any of us that live this life know that things do go bad. And they need the example of it. When things aggravate you and they're going wrong, we can live out what we hope for our kids, or we can share our anger with them. You won't laugh at your dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. You will dig out at 1 a.m. When one of the children ran out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how family members treat one another. Members of the opposite sex and people who are different than they are. By example, he instills a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of this life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. Grab it. Maybe you'll get a greeting card for it. Maybe not. But it's steady work. It's the steady that blesses the most. It's not the heroic achievements that you make in the world, or even in your family. It's being there and being there with grace. Interesting, I was watching on the cable channel now that have all these educational things. And I was watching one about the President's Club. Presidents get together because they need to talk to each other. And it was amazing how much they help each other. And then it came to Bush Sr., the older Bush, when he was the first president, dealing with his son. And he said, well, certainly, he really needed his father to give him presidential advice. And then the person said something that was very wise. It said that George Bush Sr. realized that his son needed a father more than just another advising president. And he took that role because it was more important. The grace gift that we give by being there, by loving, by being steady, is a huge gift. And by the way, those of you that are older, and as we get older, like my kids are in their 30s, 31, 34. I know the mistakes I made with them. Well, they know the mistakes they made with them. But we still have opportunities. New opportunities to learn from each other and love and to be there for each other and to make a difference. And my son, I think he appreciates Ann and I more now that he's a parent. Debbie Ward Beecher said, we know the love of our, we never know the love of our parents for us till we have to become parents. And when we see what's required, we grow greater respect for what's done. We also see the opportunity of, particularly for young fathers or future fathers, what we have is the opportunity, one, to live out the example that our fathers gave us, but two, to move beyond that example. If I wanted to honor my father, I would not be as good a father as my father was. I would seek to be better and to learn from him and to learn from his failings as well as his successes. And we have that opportunity to live it out. And it says when we do that, it says that he will become the seat of honor, the throne for the house of his father. This is that place that we have. And all the glory of his father, of his family, will hang on him. And it gives us such an opportunity to live it out. Never stand as tall as when we kneel down to help our children. Children love when you just get, if they're little, when you just get down. It's harder for us grandparents. But when they can, it's the extra gift. Children will know, even if they don't know, when we kneel down in the holy place for our children. Because God is listening, and God gives us wisdom and grace. And there's an opportunity in the world. All the glory of this family will hang upon me, speaking to a person that's lifted up as a father. Reading a book. One night, a father overheard his son pray. Dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is. Later that Father prayed, dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be and you want me to be. There is nothing in my lifetime that has blessed me more and a few opportunities where I could especially be there for my children, whether simple or great, and to see who they've become. And the opportunity remains for each of you, whether your children are young or old, whether your children are nieces and nephews or neighborhood children, we offer them a great space where they can be loved into becoming who God wants.